Yay!
And we would do want to focus on the new information, so we're going to be spoiling everything. But EG, Jacob, would you like to talk about what not to ask in future Q&As?
Yes, a good public service announcement for all the many viewers we have here today. These Q&As are great. We love Jim for doing them. And while I understand that there are plenty of new fans that come into the series at any given moment, here are a couple of questions that you, as maybe an intermediate fan who has already been through the ups and downs, will know not to ask if Jim ever comes to your area or you're ever lucky enough to be at Q&A. Do not ask, why Chicago?
But why
It's always
Chicago?
been answered.
If you're wondering why not Chicago, it's because it was too close to Anita Blake already said in the South.
Correct. And
He
he looked
originally
at a
wanted to put
globe and
it
it had four cities on it. He didn't want to do Washington because politics.
political.
He didn't want to do New York because the superheroes have that covered. He didn't want to do LA because
It's
I just,
LA.
yeah. And so then there was Chicago, and that is why Chicago. Question two, the hat. It's a running joke. Although he did mention one day Harry might get to pick up Indiana Jones's fedora from the Smithsonian. But yeah, the hat's a running joke between the illustrator and him, essentially.
Ooh, can I provide a bonus for this?
Funny tidbit, in his other series he's currently writing, the main character is specifically not wearing is specifically wearing a hat, so he is not wearing one undercover. Same
That's
model.
exactly what I was going to bring up. Good job. Yeah, so with the Aeronauts Windlass, the Cinder Spire series, the artist is never going to depict him with a hat, even though he wouldn't be caught dead without one, because the same running joke. So now you can already not ask questions from that series.
Question number three, how long or how much did he plan the series out in advance? It's a great story. I encourage any of you who haven't listened to it to go watch any Q&A because this one probably comes up the most. But yeah, so that one I'll let you listen to for yourself, but don't ask how much he had planned out.
The other one that was asked every single one, Jade Court. No, we are not going to see more of the Jade Court. They do not leave the Yangtze River.
Right. Speaking of which, I mean, was that five yet, or do we still got one more?
Almost five, but I feel like there's more than I always hear.
Sure. I mean, and there are some that get asked at like half of the Q&As, like the martial arts story is a really good one. Let's
Witch Doctor
see.
story comes up a couple times.
Which one?
The Witch Doctor story.
Oh, yeah. That one is
Don't have
good.
him tell that again. It's
That is a
really
very good
long. It's
story.
really, 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 really good. But it's so long, and there's limited time in the
That eats up a
Q&As.
solid 15 minutes easily.
Yes. And it's a good one. Just go find it when he did it before, because we're starving for new information. Give us access to more new stuff.
Well, and that's the rough thing is like, so it's good on him because he's absolutely approaching it, not every fan cares or sees it or pays attention like we do. In fact, I bet that there are two viewers today that are like, holy shit, I didn't know those were things. I should totally go look those up today. It's just stuff that we see a lot. And after 3 years of waiting for a book, for example, man, have we seen that a lot, because we're so information starved. We every Q&A, every
I'm pretty sure every single Q&A on YouTube I've watched.
right. Well, certainly in the last 3 years,
And when I decide to be a little crazy and transcribe all of the new ones that I can find in one straight shot, I get quite irrational hearing the same ones every single city.
Well, it's funny because you and Josh started doing the same stuff. It'd be like insert generic answer for XYZ question here, because those of us who do like listen to all of them, read all the AMAs and everything, we have them memorized practically. Like as soon as he starts, we're like, we already know.
Skip ahead.
Joke
And
357
again,
next.
not just for the information that is new or not new in the Q&As, but I would recommend like going through them. And whenever he tells a story, like Jim is not just a good writer. Not all good writers are good storytellers, like in person. He's a really, really good storyteller.
True story.
And they were like all worth hearing all the stories, like the Witch Doctor, and there are other stories that escapes me right now, but there's like at least three or four like stories that he usually tells. I feel like I've heard more than once.
All right.
Yeah, the happy note, new things. see, like when people were asking about, for example, the Jade Court, someone actually decided to phrase a bit differently and ask, what did they feed on? And like after a moment of consideration, he did decide to say, they feed on breath.
They can kill you with a breath from across the street.
Mm-hmm. And I very strongly feel that this is an in-universe explanation for Korean fan death.
I like it. I mean, honestly. So, I mean, maybe it's just because it's in the news, but to me, it's like, it's the fucking Russians are sending them out to kill people. The polonium thing, like, be like, you need an assassin? There you go. He could kill you from a block away with his breath.
Kind of like how Jim is like, in the next anthology got to be called Briefcases because someone mentioned it. If he ever hears about this and the fan death, I don't think he thought about it, but I think if he hears, he'd be like, Yeah, that's totally what I thought.
I was clever enough for that, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, glad you figured it out. Before we start the Q&A thing, by the way, I posted a thing from Facebook. I don't know if you saw that, where he was happy someone figured something out.
Oh,
yes.
On the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't figure that one out.
Wait, so...
Describe that, I suppose.
It was
someone wrote a timeline. Cal and Kimori see Susan taken from Harry at Bianca's party. Susan and Harry, brown chicken, brown cow. Susan gets pregnant. Quote, two robe figures, one male, one female, unquote, kidnap foo puppies. Harry saves them, adopts Mouse. Maggie is born. Harry officially meets Cal and Kimori. Stuff. Mouse's brother tells him, this is now Zoo Day spoilers, Mouse's brother tells him that their kidnappers are very interested in Maggie Dresden, and then ended with, this is important. This is very important, just not sure how yet. And then Jim responded, who's an observant reader? And then with a serious response, no, seriously, as a writer, I build in scores or hundreds of little things and wonder if anyone is ever going to notice them. It's a very fulfilling experience when they do. Smiley face.
So to confirm that it's Cal and Kimori who kidnapped the dogs and can summon monkey poop demons.
Right. Which, I don't know, man. Like, I'm glad that we've got it confirmed and we don't have to have that question asked for the next, like, 15 years. But at the same time, like, the poo demon thing just seemed like such a wacky, like, off-kilter thing, especially for somebody of, like, Cowell's level. Like, I mean, maybe it...
I wouldn't assume that Cal and Kimori were the ones who did the poo demon. I think they just had the sorcerer do his own thing and then infiltrate and steal them and go away.
So you think they were subcontracting that job?
Yeah, pretty much.
Sure.
Same thing like, as like all of the books up until then.
Right, yeah. Sure. That makes sense.
I could see Cal and Kimori sort of running point for the circle, essentially, as maybe the main people, you know, they're kind of an interwoven group and a bunch of different factions and a bunch of different plots and desires, but I could see them as being a figurehead in name type deal.
Important point too, that's Blood Rites, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's book 6, right before they officially meet in book 7. Mm-hmm. And doesn't Kimori make a point about, like, we've been here paving the way, and then they want to swoop in at the final moment or something like that. I seem to recall, but...
I think so.
Maybe it's wishful thinking, but I feel like they had mentioned that they had been hanging around the Chicago area in advance, and then, you know, they're just trying to make sure nobody else fucks up their plans. So maybe that ties into it as well. Because all they wanted was they wanted the book to be destroyed because they had their bases covered for the Dark Hollow. Is what it seemed like.
Well, yeah, they didn't really want competition, it seemed.
Right.
Or to be fair, I mean, granted, they could have been lying. I'm sure having the book would have been easier than fighting Harry for Bob, but at the, you know, 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, they did not want competition.
Right. They were probably pretty sure they could get Bob from Harry one way or another.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. They did.
So. Interesting. Yeah, but it's one of those that I was like, that's very interesting. I don't know what to do with it right now, but that's very interesting.
You know what I would love? Like once we're done with all case files are out, we've written a big apocalyptic trilogy. I would love to see like the authored argument with all the little hidden links that we never saw. Like stuff like that. Like all these little things he's got like connected and planned that just never really saw, but he used for world building. I would love to see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, people ask him every now and again at a Q&A if he's going to do like a compendium or an appendix or something, and he's like, "Oh God, no, that would kill me." Like, you know, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, yeah, like maybe well into my retirement, I would come out with something like that. But and I think that's part of what's nice about getting little flavors from, say, the RPG, is because in a way you get to collect some of that information where it's like, How do these things interrelate into his world and whatnot? But okay, have we stalled enough? Can we do the Q&A stuff?
Yes. That's okay.
So the kill you with a breath, that was the first one.
Uh-huh.
What's next?
There was the attempt of getting an answer about Mab's prisoners that she has. That I think it was Dresden Loves Karen. She made the attempt, and he didn't quite answer it. But he did say basically all those people, or at least Vlad Tepes and his lover, had pissed off the custodian. And people immediately ask, who the hell is the custodian?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we talked about that, how it was like the best wrong answer we've ever seen, and from the AMA. And we're like, no. What did you think you were answering? So now we've got that answer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The custodian is apparently the warden of Demon Rage.
So, warden, as in whoever held that position at the time.
Apparently. So, Mab must have a very interesting history with the Demon Reach and Warden.
It didn't seem to know each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, they know each other, but this isn't as connected as everybody thought, I think. So, like, Vlad and the statue people, those aren't actually connected to Demon Reach at all. He just thought that's what was being asked about. Like, I believe he had interpreted the question as, how did all the little dudes get in the crystals or whatever, which I thought was pretty well understood. Like, Demon Reach and or, you know, the warden basically had a hand in that. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Demon Reach is the metaphysical Ghostbuster trap where they, like, dump everybody off after they've been caught, right? Like, that's the prison of the old gods and the Negloshi and everything like that that's been seen. But what Dresden Loves Karen, what she was asking was the... Who are the statue people in Arctis Tor, which is a different entirely question, and that's the only way those wires got crossed. So it was Vlad and his lover, which is also weird because we're like, wait, like Dracula Vlad? That Vlad?
Yeah, the one who created the Black Court.
Right. Like, as an adolescent, like, fuck you to his dad, you know, like that Vlad, he's the one there. And then what was the other one? It was Ariadne. Is that
Anasi?
Anasi. Yeah. Okay.
Ananas.
Yeah. The spider trickster god. So he'll probably get out eventually, but he's just in there for now.
Right, he says that he's like, well, he's not going to be held forever, but you know, it's probably not important to the story. And that was part of the answer that he came back to in the AMA as well, was just that. This is all like Mab's backstory, so it's not really going to be anything, which is part of why I think we got such a straight shot answer, is because it doesn't change anything for the Dresden Files. So, and then it was two sisters, right? Because Mab was doing the Scooby-Doo thing, as he put it, being the third sister. So,
right. They were a pair of historical French or German or British. You see how much you thought about it. right. Twin sisters. Were burned as witches by a saint. Mab saved them, sort of. Instead of being burned to cinders, they were transformed to living crystal and used to decorate her bower.
Right, because Mab is the good guy in the story. Just remember that. So
right, mostly Mab defeated the saint, sort of, at the end of the Middle Ages, opening of the Renaissance, when there hadn't been all that many old world winds lately.
Map into the Dark Ages?
I mean, air and darkness, the whole intellect thing, but that's probably a stretch. I don't know. So, I mean, in a way, she kind of helped facilitate the printing press and making sure the Brothers Grimm got some business, right? So,
I mean, let's face it, if her origins are essentially Hastings, that's 1066, so you're already...
Yeah, she's already kind of towards the end.
Fair enough. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, see, there were several questions about Nicodemus. One was on the AMA and one was actually asked in Alamo, which I got to see. Basically, full story of Nicodemus, he was a normal vanilla mortal 2,000 years ago, a tax collector in Palestine.
Right.
So that's he was just a normal dude that had one of the worst jobs you could possibly have at the time. In the right place at the right time. And before that, nothing supernatural.
Or the wrong place at the wrong time, depending on your point of view.
And he's the only host to ever have had the...
Andurial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, he did say it was the betrayal that made the coins viable as a host for the Dark, the Fallen, that one.
Yeah. Right. Which makes sense, because let's face it, that whole, that's how the swords were made, were from that whole deal, and all those holy items in the vault. I mean, all that stuff comes as a result of the noose, and so on and so forth.
Right, which still, like, crazy. I'm excited to see where it goes, but I'm like, you're getting really off into the Christian mythology for that, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes, and with the whole saintness, you know, still trying to figure out how literal he means that. Like, does that mean there's a practicing Catholic on the council we're not aware of, or some other saintness? Is that one of your...
Saints now are people who believe they need to use their faith to do magic.
Right.
Yep.
Well, continuing the religion thing, someone did ask about angels and gods, and do they have mantles in the same way that, like, Odin and the fairies do? No. Because they were, like, the main people behind creating existence, and Odin and company were subcontractors. I think his recent experience with his house being built really kind of influenced the metaphor. So Odin and company, their mantles and subcontracting abilities are a bit different. The angels in the White God, they have to function on slightly different methods. Uriel has to deal with Harry in all dimensions. And our Harry is actually the more stable of them.
Go figure.
So, and that's an interesting point too, then, because that kind of helps us answer some stuff that we had talked about in the cosmology episodes. So it sounds like the angels and the White God are operating outside of the universe. They're operating at the multiverse level, where presumably the outsiders also operate.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of also how I saw it when we discussed it. I think the outsiders and God was kind of outside the system, and then there was the whole system with multiverse and everything. And then I think we started talking about Rick and Morty.
Oh shit! He totally told us that in Ghost Story, because he talks about how when Carmichael is taking him on the tour of Chicago, that it's all of the Chicagos that ever were or ever could have been. So he pretty much told us that already anyway. That's crazy.
But I guess that does mean all of the possibilities of one reality versus all of the possibilities of all realities.
Possibly, but I mean, it's, we're talking about supersets of infinity at that point. So yes, they are different things, but we need to skip. My brain's going to stall. It's like somebody pull me out of this. I'm going to get stuck.
Okay. Also at the Alamo, he did reveal a little bit of peace talks that I haven't heard anywhere else, was that it's going to have a lot of PvP because of all of those discussions that people have had of who would win against who in a fight. He didn't always know the answer to that, so he decided to find out.
Oh, shit.
That makes sense.
We knew a fuck ton of people were going to die. Obviously, and the lid was going to get blown off. And he's hinted that like the whole everybody on the senior council has a bag of tricks, and we're going to see some of that in peace talks. He's all but said it. Now he just fucking said it.
So. I mean, so that means we can also discount some things from happening. Like they've asked Mab versus Ferrovax, who wins? Is like Ferrovax or Mab might barely be able to survive. I think he said that at least.
No, it's essentially he's mentioned that between the two of them, that Mab would be loath to take him on, but they're basically neither one of them would win so much as, and if I remember the quote correctly, it's as continue to exist.
Right. How much of them would be left over?
Yeah. Since like he people had that answer, I'll bet that one doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah. Almost certainly not.
That's one of those sundering the fabric of the reality types of fights, not
most of those.
Two archmages throw down, you know.
Yeah, because that's a very old, well, by comparison, that's an old word of Jim where he put Mab and Ferrovax and Titania and Dracul and certain factions who as a whole would be on their level in pound for pound fighting. So I don't think any of those were ever going to happen in peace talks anyway, because they've already been said they're all playing at the same level. They're not going to slug it out because they know better.
Right. Mutually assured destruction type of thing.
Right. But if you had something along the lines of, you know, your Ebenezer versus Big Nasty A, B, or C, you know, take your choice.
That's also why people like Mab gets their fingers on champions like Harry, because they can sway the balance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, at a minimum, it helps hurdle all those fairy rules she has on her. I mean, Harry's immortal. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, but I definitely get, like, I think he has said somewhere, like, people like Harry and other, like, there's other faction leaders has the same. Like, they, like, want to get their hands on, like, these especially potentially powerful people or people with special destinies, because they can also, sure, they can use them. Not just because it makes them more powerful, but they can actually, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's planning with it.
Well, even Odin has called Harry a fulcrum, if I'm remembering right, in Cold Days. So,
yeah. Right. And now I'm super curious who, like, everybody's going to throw down with, because there's so many of those freaking posts. Like, honestly, mm-hmm, one of the first matchups that came to mind was Ebenezer and Langtree. I was like, ooh, does this mean we're going to finally see council members fighting each other instead of just, like, the Black Council types? Or I don't know, man. Okay, we got to go on, because my brain's going to get stuck again. I'm just over here, like, derail the whole episode.
This is fun. Okay. There is a short story that he has discussed or wants to play with. And it was briefly mentioned, actually, in, I don't remember which book, E.G. probably know. But at one point, Harry is running around chasing tornadoes. And he has an intern for the NSSL, for chasing tornadoes and all that. That was Thor, who was playing at OU football, because that's what he does with his time, is he just goes around and plays football at various universities and just barely comes in under before getting picked to the NFL and all that. And so it would have been a really fun short story of Harry doing magical things and the intern's looking freaked out because the intern is Thor.
I thought Thor was a wrestler, or is that some other gods?
It's gods in general. I don't think anyone was ever specifically mentioned as which god, but a lot of gods, quote unquote, get right. their veneration that way these days, because it's easy.
And presumably, like, war gods and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
I could see, yeah.
College football is close enough.
Yeah, and for some reason, I feel like he dodges the Thor and Hercules questions a lot. Like, it sounded like Hercules didn't make it, and yeah, then Thor might not have made it either, or something like that. But I never feel like we got a good answer on Thor, which is one of the big ones I want to see, especially because, like, Odin's right there. Like,
he did say it at some point. Oh, yeah, Thor had a huge fight with Odin when Odin decided to become mostly mortal. So that's why he decided to wander around campuses and playing football, because they really disagreed on that point, apparently. So Thor is still godly and Odin is not.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Odin has been mentioned before a couple of times, as being a special case. The more you stay in the mortal world, the more mortal you are, just kind of by dint of doing it. And Odin could have retained most of his godly power if he just kind of shunted off to Never Never, but he wanted to stay involved because he knows what's up.
Yeah.
He so wants that to was the trade off.
Involved and do things. So he lost a bit of power for that freedom. When
you give up your eye for wisdom, you kind of want to use that shit. So. Mm-hmm.
And that's also why he took on the Kringle aspect, is because A, it supposedly keeps him from dying, which I guess makes sense. If he's more mortal now, he's going to age more. And I don't think the Aesir were ever true immortals like the Olympians anyway. And it makes sense. Now, the only question is whether or not, because I tried to get this out of him at the AMA, was whether or not Kringle was kind of this thing that he took on because he saw it was advantageous, or if he essentially created it because he knew he would need something like that.
But right.
That kind of spun off into another answer about how he's just really uber powerful on Christmas.
Mm. Right.
You got to see him when he went by New York, right?
Yeah. I didn't ask him. No, this one, the Odin question was the AMA. The one I asked him was the one, the pet theory I had that Hell's Bells were the warding spells all over the world that get offshot mentioned in Grave Peril.
Yeah.
And they're not. They're actually literal Hell's Bells. They're bells in Hell that, I'm going to see if I can remember the quote exactly, because that one didn't get filmed, was, it's going to be a lot of fun to try and retrieve those.
Oh, wow.
That was the AMA where you were going to take notes, but then you saw so many people filming and writing, and you were like,
yeah,
nah.
I thought, then I saw three people in front of me filming the thing in New York, so I was like, all right, well, I guess I don't have to write it down.
And then can't find those recordings at all.
No, nobody put them up.
Harsh. If you're freaking watching this, go post
put
the
up
damn
New York
thing.
Signing. And then hopefully I got him to change the name of the wrestling book.
Yeah, because you paid him $20 for it or offered to.
I went to get the book signed, and so someone had mentioned during a previous signing, I think maybe the day or three before, that the working title for the wrestling book was going to be, how did they say it was? I don't even remember now because I'm so very much not invested in that name. But while he was signing my book, I asked him, so I heard X, Y, and Z was going to be the name of the new book. He's like, yeah, it looks like it. So I said, so if I offer you $20, will you change it to a heel turn? And his eyes kind of lit up a little, and he's like, ooh. And he's like, I wanted to get Turnbuckle in there somehow, but I couldn't quite figure it out. And then he opened up my book again and wrote in thank you. So I'm kind of hoping I
swayed him. Nice. So you can super cool.
Be among the same person. I can't remember his username that suggested briefcases.
Right.
With mention, no mention, credit, no credit. I just want it to be heel turn. Right. I do not care.
Well, that's what everyone else in Reddit has been calling it anyway, right?
Well, I've been trying to make them call it that. They had a voting thing once, a couple last year sometime. It was heel turn versus, I think, ringside, and then a couple other people threw in their suggestions. Actually, I think I made that thread.
I think you did.
I like ringside, but I don't understand heel turn.
It's a wrestling term.
It's heel when a good person betrays, right?
Right. So essentially, heel turn, and it doesn't always have to be instant, but generally speaking, it's kind of like, you know, if you're a part of a very popular tag team and you guys are defending the belt and your partner comes up from behind you and hits you with a steel chair and lets the other team pin you, you've turned heel. You've gone bad. You're out of nowhere. So there's a lot of different meanings that could work with that.
I watched a bit of wrestling when I was on Danish TV, and there was this team with Triple H, Randy Orton, some old guy I don't remember the name of.
Sure.
With blonde hair. I think
Ric Flair.
Yeah. That was his name.
Yep.
I kind of was a bit arrogant, that Randy guy. But he could be a god, right?
Sure. Why not?
Out of good looks.
I mean, I have to imagine it's not going to be straight up WWE names of wrestlers in there.
I'm guessing it's going to be close to their wrestler personas are probably straight up just going to be like Thor or like whatever god they are.
Jim's over here just writing like The Undertaker is really, you know. So
The Undertaker would have been great for Hades had he stuck to that particular view of him.
Right.
I like the way he went with Hades though. It reminds me of kind of how he was done in the Hercules series. He's like this, I'm not the devil kind of guy. I'm not evil.
Mm.
Caretaker. God damn it.
But yeah.
Basically, topic change. I can't segue this, but people keep asking about Oblivion War. Will we see more of it? And he basically says the only way that he could show a bunch of things about the Oblivion War is to write a time-skipping type story, which he could probably do, but it would require so much research, it would basically put everything else to a stop. But yep. He might be able to touch on it in the new spin-off series he has announced, focused on Goodman Gray, called Monster LLC. The tagline is, because when you are in trouble, you need a hero, but when you're in real trouble, you need a monster.
All right, then. He's doing a Suicide Squad, then? Where it's like you got the villains being the heroes.
Is Larry going to co-write it?
Andre is saying Larry Correa in case everybody's not on the same page as that, so.
Because he keeps bugging Justin to read it.
Right.
I mean, at least Justin would have read something by Larry.
He'll ghostwrite a book or a chapter or a short story or something. Why not? So it seems only fair, right? So
yeah. I got to read the story Jim did in his universe. I haven't done that yet.
Oh, you haven't done that? I read that one, at least. It's all right. It was pretty good.
Is the troll in it? Says the janitor is like around the base. Did he run into the troll?
I don't recall a troll. So
the troll, like the computer guy, is a troll. Like he's an actual internet troll. He basically lives off Doritos and Mountain Dew.
And he's a literal troll, not just
he's an actual troll with like a big computer set up with all their own servers and everything. And he's very, very good at it. And at some point, they basically just feed him in Mountain Dew, Red Bull, and Doritos, and he works for them for free.
That's pretty funny.
One more thing about this side story that he's announced. Someone asked, will we ever get information from Margaret Le Fay about when she met Goodman Gray? And he said, I had no intention of that until this question.
Oh, man.
And similarly, someone, I think it was in Virginia, asked a very awesome question of, can all three queens give Harry a conflicting order? Says, they can now. He was super excited about that one.
Yeah, maybe we should stop doing these Q&As. Like, I was excited about the new information, but now I'm looking at all the ways that we're fucked. Like, damn it.
You know, the ways we're screwing Harry over.
Right.
Take your chances.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Mm-hmm. This is a really small question, but like someone asked, why Foo Fighters walk for the montage? Because he couldn't walk.
Duh.
And it's not a whole lot of thought put into it. It's just because it's funny.
Right.
I don't even remember what that song sounds like. I know a lot of Foo Fighters songs, but I don't remember that one.
Oh.
I gotta listen to that after.
Yeah. Homework. Go do it. See, some more information about kind of what was going on in Skin Game. The Vault 7, someone asked, does that mean Christianity? No, that's the vault for super weapons, for mortals. So the bigger super weapons are somewhere else. But ones in Vault 7 we might have access to.
Great. So like when the superhero team of gods needs super weapons, they go to a more bigger, different vault.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the keeper of that vault?
No one asked that question.
Right? Shock. Like,
Write it down.
What a natural follow-up.
Yeah, right. So, like, it'd have to be the Archangels? I mean, right? Like, what does Michael keep in his armory? Like, not, you know, Michael, but, you know, Michael.
His spear.
Right? And magic helmet.
About the confusion of Michael, someone asked, if Uriel had died in Skin Game while Michael had his grace, what would happen? Well, someone's got to fill the job, and then you'd have two Michaels as archangels, and you'd have to differentiate the Michael Carpenter, but not the Carpenter, because that's Jesus.
Right. Yeah, I could see that being very... I'm getting Lethal Weapon vibes, like Captain, Michael, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
I don't remember that. It's been a while since I watched Lethal Weapons.
I got all the obscure references, man. So,
Penguin Mel Gibson was kosher.
Yeah, when he was a little less crazy, he just pretended to be crazy.
Pretended to be crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody knew he was racist. I mean, still a good actor. Too bad you don't see him too much anymore.
Andreas, you're going to get us in trouble this episode.
It's your turn to get us in trouble. You can be good at your job and have objectionable opinions. Hey, just look at the other Alex.
Away from that. We're moving away from that.
Okay, moving away. Someone has asked him directly, is the black stuff Mother Winter's walking stick, which he probably has been asked before, but I didn't remember. He says, oh, come on, that's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Which right. Basically becomes his weird confirmation. Thing.
Yep.
That's totally a coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, there's a fun story. If you don't know, Jim did the voice for Marcone for Even Hand in Briefcase's audiobook. And apparently he did a really good job. Like, he did it all in one take because he knew what the words were going to be. He wrote the thing. He's familiar with it. He didn't need to stutter at all. And he basically got offered a job on point. It's like, if you ever want to do this again, I think we can work something out. But while he was recording in the studio, they had passed along a message from Marsters as to, oh, by the way, he had a question. It's like, oh, cool. What is it? I want to talk to that guy. When's Peace Talk's going to be done? And so he banged his head on the microphone right in front of him.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some Q&As with Marsters too, but I think he's actually a pretty big fan.
Yeah.
The story?
What Jim has said is that Spike does it because he likes it, because he's one of the highest income actors in Hollywood right now. We cannot afford him, he says multiple times. He does it because he likes it.
Right. Which, I mean, I got a picture with Marsters dressed as Dresden, one of the first cons that I did at the Dresden cosplay, and to see him light up when he saw me dressed as Dresden with Bob. I mean, granted, he's an actor, so I'm sure there's a healthy bit of that in there, but yeah, he was super excited. So I think he's an actual fan, and honestly, it's funny because Jim hates getting asked about Peace Talks, but Marsters just probably like, when do I get another job? Like,
let's not have another scheduling conflict. The guy obviously cares if he was happy. Like someone else did Ghost Story, but he was like, I mean, I got time. You're just like, I don't think it was the money. I think it was, I really want to do. Like, I don't want to miss out.
Getting asked about it. I'm sure that came up.
What? We've had Jim on here. Petition to get James Masters on here somehow.
All right, let's do it.
Your job.
We can't afford him, but
yeah,
it's going to have to be on its own dime.
Luckily, we don't need to fly him anywhere. People have asked in pretty much every city: is there plans for Harry and Murphy, or Harry and any romance? And he keeps saying no, romance is never planned. But people have asked also about Tam Lin and the connection of that story with Harry and Murphy, and he says, I have no idea, but I'm not going to tell you.
Interesting.
So
you think she's going to be the one that breaks him out of the...
Maybe. I mean, yeah. Apparently Janet and or Margaret, because of course that name has to show up again, was the way of getting Tam Lin free of Mab.
Uh-huh.
It totally could be.
Well, now, if I remember the story, though, he tells her what to do, and she basically has to carry it out. Like, he's like, you're going to have to hold me, and I'm going to turn into a bunch of weird shit, and just don't let go. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm oversimplifying an even simple story, but, I could see Murphy being tough enough to do it, but the way that I took that story and the hints about the other Winter Knights is that it's possible, not necessarily that Dresden's going to like turn into a hot ember and be thrown into a well and then be free of the thing somehow, you know, like.
Basically, the Tam Lin story just shows that there is a way of getting out of being a Winter Knight, possibly needing to involve a lover.
I'm just the only one here who's kind of like, I don't even remember. Like, is this a folklore thing that I don't remember?
Yeah, it was a Celtic thing. We did actually have a...
Right.
We did Celtic things before. I don't remember what episode.
Did we talk about it? I don't remember this at all.
I'm pretty sure we did this as part of the episode, which is why I remember it a little bit. But
yeah. And there's... Tamlin shows up, and there's a girl. Her name changes depending on who's telling the story, but it's either Margaret or Janet. And she does what he says, like Justin said. And through a bunch of different trials, Mab is trying to get her to falter so that she gets to keep Tamlin. But Janet doesn't. And then he's free of Mab.
Right.
There was a deal. She stuck to her word. And that was it.
And passed on her. So, but how do you get Mab to make that deal?
She
really wants to keep Harry, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's the two things to me. Like, first of all, that feels like a loophole that Mab's not going to make that mistake twice. And and second of all, that, you know, those types of meta magical instances are very custom tailored to the individual. Like, I highly doubt that Jim's just going to go lift that from folklore and be like, yeah, we're going to do the kind of the same thing, even though I would say 99% of the readers wouldn't even recognize it. I just don't see him doing it that literally, but, you know, who knows? So for me, the more important thing is I still hold on to, like, it's part of my 20 book vision or whatever, that he's going to get free of it eventually, even if it's after the BAT, whatever it is. That's why I think he's going to be there, because otherwise why bring up the Tamlin thing at all? Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's already provided that there is an out. Yeah. And so when people are like, I think he's going to keep it the whole series. No, I don't buy that. So,
well, this is a way of getting the Winter Night out, because Tamlin was a Winter Knight, but it may also double for getting a Winter Lady out.
Okay. So you're on Team Molly now? Is that...
No, I'm saying that Molly might want to be rid of it. if it's the same thing as, like, someone, there's a needs to be a bet, and then she gets released of it because someone has asked, is there a way of releasing the mantle without dying? And he just flat said, I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
There probably is a way.
Yes.
We just don't get to know. Yeah.
If it's a yes or no question and he's like, I'm not going to tell you, it's usually probably yes.
That's just a coincidence. That means yes.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Molly's going to make it. But, like, I don't... At the very least, she's not coming back to Team Carpenter and just going to be, you know, like a regular human girl again. She's either going to keep the mantle or die. That's my vote. But that's my guess anyway.
I think she's going to die.
What, it's not like the ladies have a good track record right now. Like, they're immortal. They could live for thousands of years or about 15 minutes after meeting Dresden. So,
yeah. You know.
Okay, a little bit of hyperbole, but still.
A little. Just like every building is not his fault, right?
He has basically promised that he will show Charity and Michael's reaction to them learning of her new profession. And we haven't gotten to see that yet. So she has to survive that terrible experience first.
I think he was like, oh, she's not getting out of that one or something. There's no way.
Who's Charity going to fight in Peace Talks? Charity and Mab?
Maybe.
Or have we already done that one? Too close to proven guilty?
Kind of team up, right? They're like going to be stepmom and real mom.
That we need the Dresden universe Charlie's Angels. We got Murphy, we got Charity, we got Mab.
Justine.
The girl squad. There you go. Justine. Yeah. Laura.
Ooh. Laura. I was just like, now I think Peace Talks again in the PvP. It's like, Laura's got to get her shit stomped.
Maybe. Yeah, it could be one of the baddies somewhere, or it could be Thomas. Like, I'm still waiting for him to be brooding vampire king Thomas.
Why did you enter the wrong room? I didn't read the story until... briefcases. That was good. If you remember.
Which story?
The bombshells one where she like tricks them into going into Thomas's room, and you can just hear Thomas go, oh boy, did you pick the wrong room?
Right. Okay, I do remember that now.
And then like a Fomor comes flying out of the room, makes a Fomor dent in the wall.
He Fomored a dent in the wall. I'm sorry. That was bad for me. So
at least you recognize it.
Yeah.
Someone on Facebook asked something interesting about Fomors. In the comic book that we've actually done an episode on, there's a water type creature at the start of it.
Right.
And they were like, "Is this a Fomor?" And my theory, is no, that's definitely not a Fomor, but it's probably related to the faction, but not an actual Fomor.
Well, and that's something I think we're waiting to get a better answer on anyway, because we had talked about the connection between the giants, the Jotuns, and the Fomor. So, is the Fomor the race, or is the Fomor the nation?
Fomor is the nation of a bunch of aquatic rejects.
I think there's both a nation and an actual race. The frog guys, the frog-looking guys, and bombshells, and then the one Jim reads with McCone. Those are actual Fomorians, and there's also a faction of Fomorians with all kinds of races.
Yeah. Gotcha. He's going to fight an ice giant. I'm so excited. God.
Fuck the fire spell.
Right?
He's going to do that.
That one.
And that's why I'm like, Thor's got to be in it, right? The ice giants are there. You got to have Thor punch an ice giant at least once.
Just watch a Marvel movie.
Right?
Hey. Like my mythology, thank you.
Appropriating your culture?
Appropriating my culture, like
if you want to see Thor punch an ice giant, watch a Marvel movie. It's not a culture thing. If this is what you want,
I watched that in cartoons when I was a kid because there's a Danish cartoon with a Asgardian gods. Okay, right. Way cooler than Marvel.
Yeah, but Hemsworth's prettier.
Also true. Thor in that comic book and cartoon is like burly and red-haired.
Right, which is what he is, I believe, in the actual mythology. Is he not? He's not a
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. It's like a children's version, but it's pretty accurate. Like,
I just realized something PvP and Peace Talks. Ebenezer is going to learn of his connection to Thomas, and then he is going to learn of Justine's condition, and Ebenezer is going to kick Lara's shit. My prediction.
Oh, yeah? Because you touch him one more time, I'm out of your $500 pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. Like one of the best fucking lines in the whole series.
Oh, that was...
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I need to go re-listen to the whole series.
And the problem with that being the PvP thing is like it's no contest. Like either she's gonna sneak up on him and lay on the whammy, or he's gonna knock her into the next fucking state. Like I don't see.
And he has more than a full power. Even if she tries to whammy him, he'll just like grunt and then throw her across the continent.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to give points to Ebenezer on that one. Like,
yep. Better one would be Ebenezer versus a Mogwai.
Harry's chip off the old block, right? Those two guys are like similar. Like, they're both stubborn, willful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
But Harry's also young enough to have an appreciable effect of her whammy. Like he mentions it every time. I'm pretty sure if she tried that kind of thing with your Ebenezer type, he might blink his eyes, but I don't think we're at the point where a white court sex goddess is really going to do much for him.
I think you would say he's old, not dead.
I know. That's definitely the turn of phrase.
We haven't ever discussed this, but does the plumbing still work at that age?
For Ebenezer? Yes. Really?
In general, the old wizards, how's the plumbing? Like, old people don't have a lot of sex.
Wizards
like,
have an aura of life around them. So yeah, I would imagine he's physically like in his 70s, maybe, but I mean, he makes a pass at Murphy, doesn't he? And
Margaret's not that old. I mean, Margaret, it was like, and she wasn't old. She was a normal age. Dresden and her were both born fairly recently, considering how old he is.
Margaret was about 100, I think he has said previously. Aged to around age 50. Okay, 120, but you aged to around age 50, and then you basically stop is what he has said that wizards do. So Ebenezer's going to look about 55. Unless things get exponentially faster. Well, no,
you start again after a while. Like, Ancient Mai doesn't look like she's 55. She looks like she's 95.
Well, because if she was Asian and looked 55, she'd look 20, so.
Well, if you're Asian and you look 55, then you must be 100.
Okay, right? Well, if you're Asian and you are 55, you look 20.
Exactly.
So, it's like until you hit 70, and then you shrink and get a bun.
Mm.
But yeah, sort of hit a peak at like 50, but you do start to get older again as time. You know, once you start hitting 300, I'm pretty sure you look 70 or close to it.
There, someone did ask about other positions on the White Council. Like, there's the Black Staff, there's the Gatekeeper. Have those been made as they go, or did Merlin create them when he first the White Council?
Ah, okay. My thought was were somewhere else there for a second.
Okay. God damn it. Well, Merlin did create some of the positions, and then some others were made.
Merlin created the positions, eh?
Well, some of them. I think the Gatekeeper, but he didn't really specify which ones. Blackstaff was made a little bit afterwards. But everyone basically has their own position, like weird.
Well, there's roles. The Saint and the Blackstaff and the Merlin. And the healer, I guess. I mean,
we'll find out, probably.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out a couple of them. I'd be surprised if we found out all of them, but everything's going to happen in peace talks, so maybe.
Everything. Right. It's basically the BAT. Like, it's peace talks, and then we're done.
Well, it's Civil War, right? It's Avengers 2.5, so this is going to be like BAT 0.5, you know?
I'll buy that. I mean, I'll buy the book anyway, but I'll definitely buy it. Next!
All right. Someone has specifically asked, did Cassius's death curse get used up by his death and changes? Is no, because life support doesn't count.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he had loopholed that one. Okay.
He did. Well, he once before mentioned that he had sort of gotten out from under that one. I think he was keeping his options open.
Right, and that's what I had remembered, because I was like, that one's not super common, but I do recall that being asked before, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, I do notice that he sometimes mixes up what he's talking about. Like, at one point, someone mentioned that Lord Wraith is immune to magic, and he's like, did I write that? Yes, he totally did. Multiple times in Blood Wraiths, but he had forgotten.
Or you with your library question that you were so happy to ask and never. What library?
Yeah. He doesn't read. He doesn't even know how to read. Oh, wait. Huh. Yeah.
Oh, and he's mentioned several times the reason for that is that we all know the story better than he does, because he's got in his head the alternate reality. He's got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 rough drafts in his head. He doesn't always remember.
It's just startling when, like, you built that up to sound really, really important. Why don't you remember?
Right. Well, because, it became this whole thing that, like, you know, Lord Wraith, he missed the train last time, so he spent his whole, you know, 1,000 years building up to this point just to get thwarted by his kid in Dresden, and now she's got access to his books, which seems really important, except not really, apparently.
You could put the library in Mab's garden. They're about as important as one another.
Right. But the difference is, like, Mab's garden would be important if it got, like, loose, right? Like, if they went and thawed people out or something. But, like, Laura has access to those books, and those books seem to be at least implied that they gave him some kind of knowledge or edge in the last 1,000 years for what's coming. Like, hey, guess what? It's half a confirmation that this thing happens in a cycle, which most of us were guessing at and pretty much knew anyway. And this is how Lord Wraith knew it. And now Laura knows it, except that doesn't fucking matter for reasons. Like, wait a minute.
I mean, it's got to matter. She basically now has information about the Outsiders. Whatever connection that Lord Wraith had to He Who Walks Behind, she now has access to.
Theoretically.
That's got to be important.
Yeah.
I mean, if she can puppet him, then she can, like,
get eaten by Walker. That's not helping her.
Mm.
You know what would have been cool is if he decided that the library was just stuff that Merlin couldn't save from the Library of Alexandria, so it's all this ancient information type deal.
Mm.
That right. would have been good.
Yep. That would have been good.
Oh, well.
Well, we do have a bunch more information to go through, but we're kind of at the end of the episode. So unless there's any specific fun things you want to share.
Are you saying we prepared material and did not make it to the end of that material? That never happens.
We have a stretch content.
The third part of the second episode of the fourth thing. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Alignments, the letter M. Part letter two.
I'm sick that day.
We'll do it once in a while just to annoy you.
I'll be sick those days.
So we'll just have mystery episodes. Like, we don't have anything prepared.
For
meanwhile.
Totally not going to be alignment.
Alignment episode.
Right.
I'll know exactly where it's going beforehand.
No, no. Well, these pieces, like, yeah, so we should totally talk about one of the short stories. And then we go live. Alignments! Hey, you can't go now, EG. We're live.
Peace Talks comes out. Watch but we do an alignments quick. Episode.
We can totally do this.
All right. You want me to plug shit and stuff?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
It's your job.
All right. So this is the Dresden Files podcast. We're part of the Broken Jars network, brokenjars.xyz. If you like listening to us, you might like listening to other podcasts such as Dangerous to Go Alone. They are a podcast about geek and nerd culture, or nerd and geek culture even.
We don't judge. Either or.
There's also the Great Scott podcast. They're going through The Office. I mean, are they still going through The Office? Yeah. How many seasons are there?
Well, the last time Jacob described it on High Fantasy, it's like they're just getting into the point of saying goodbye to Michael. It's like, I thought you were further away from that. Like, I thought you'd gotten past that. Right?
I mean, even then, when they're done with The Office, they should do The British Office, which is better.
Says the European.
I mean, I've not seen either, but on general principle, sure.
Oh,
for all you soccer fans out there, Russia's been eliminated, by the way.
Woohoo!
All right, then we got High Fantasy, which you mentioned.
We do sometimes record. Holidays do not play nice with family schedules, so 4th of July still impacted recording schedules.
Fun times.
I feel like the only consistent High Fantasy member who's like, yep, I'm ready, is Ibestik. Which is, I can only remember his Discord name right now.
Well, Colin is the one who couldn't do anything because he had family over.
Aha, see, there goes your theory.
Yeah, because like Murphy, he's from a giant Irish Catholic family, and they get together frequently at his house.
Do they have barbecues with burgers in, like, a huge field?
They can't go outside. They will die.
Only Irish.
Yeah.
All right. And then finally, we've got SimTalk, which is a relatively new addition. That's one that Jacob's been putting on, and it sounds like he's getting some cool traction. So if you're a nerd and like nerd things like simulations and stuff, then check it out.
Yep.
I should talk to Jacob about simulations for my MMO, or is that not the same thing?
It's not even close. Like, if you want to mass produce and like deliver your MMO all over the world, that might be in the same ballpark.
No, I want him to write a program that's better than the one they have now.
So you want him to write an MMO?
No. To find out what is the best damage, people use simulations to simulate the class's damage and specs damage. So there's a program for that called SimCraft, which simulates a fight and tells you how good a class is.
Mm-hmm.
I should be on SimTalk, really.
There you go.
Okay, go join. Go do another podcast like you should be doing.
Okay, Mom.
Yeah, you do High Fantasy so often.
Hey, we do. It's just holidays are not nice. And then Colin also had to decide to go to Britain. It's like, he's the one. It's his fault.
Right? It can't be. I'm sure apparently Colin is the most consistent team member. I got your back, Colin.
I'm hitting the button now.